So, hi, welcome to Binge Buddies. No Wrong Time to Rock. I'm your host, always Brian Dressel. With me, as always, is Matt, Zombie Dog, Red B, Dykes.
I like that. Red B.
I didn't know which way you were going to go on it. I thought you might either like it or hate it.
Well, my favorite color is red, so, you know, I like it.
Oh, there we go.
Yeah.
I'll make sure I get one you don't like next week. Don't worry.
Okay. Lilac turtle. I don't know.
I don't think that's a one, but that'd be a great superhero. You can go ahead and write that one. Yeah. We also have Alex, Mr. Mind, Arona.
Ooh, I like Mr. Mind.
I was hoping you'd like him. I figured you would know who he was.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he's a weird caterpillar.
Yeah, he's in Shazam for all of 2 seconds. I'm really hoping he's in the sequel. They haven't said if he is or not. Like
that's one that is on my back catalog. I'm like, I know I should watch Shazam. I know.
I thought Mr. Mind, I really apologize
because that's like a hint at the very, very end. It's like a post credits tag. I'm sorry for spoiling.
No, that's cool. That's cool. I mean, now it's moved up on my list.
Okay.
For a second I thought Mr. Mind was the guy with the big head in Harley Quinn. What was his name, though?
Hector. No, that's Hector Hammond. That's Green Lantern guy with the big head. Wow, there's so many guys with big heads.
It was Mind something, though, wasn't it?
I just know it's the guy who plays Buster on Arrested Development.
Yeah.
That's all I keep thinking is Buster.
that's what I think.
I don't remember now. If we do a Harley Quinn show, I'm sure we'll remember it then. Anyhow, we also have Joel Saint Walker DeWitt.
Sorry, I zoned out for a minute there. Saint Walker.
Yeah, I'm still just gonna leave all that in. Saint Walker is actually, Joel, I gave you the best character today, like far and away the best character. People love Saint Walker.
All right.
There's people with Saint Walker tattoos. I've seen them. Like he's a big one.
Writing.
He's a Blue Lantern. He is the he's a beacon of hope.
Walker. Okay. All right. Got it.
So that's the first
that
note
up
he's
all
ever
your writing
done.
Down notes.
Yeah.
I love that.
Joel's
that's
finally taking
note.
Notes.
Yeah, taking notes on his own nickname.
Take notes on the show? No, thank you. On your nickname? You betcha. Oh, boy. All right, so episode 3, as I mentioned last week, is the end of the pilot trilogy is what I'm calling it, because that's how it was released. If you get the first 3 episodes, and when you watch them as 3 episodes, you can kind of feel like, this is just kind of one arc. But when you watch the way we did, I actually kind of appreciated it this way, too. I'm not saying one way is better or worse. I think it's just kind of, they do work as individual episodes, which is kind of nice. But it also means that this thing's going to end with the final, like, this is what we're dealing with. And, like, the most, like, on the nose, like, Project Butterfly, like, way I've ever seen. And it's actually handled rather well. But it does mean this episode is a bit of a ride. Where'd you guys land on this one?
Fucking love this episode. Like, from start to finish, it's awesome. Like, everything, the firing on all cylinders, and it feels like everyone's sort of got into the groove of, like, the characters now. You've got, like, all the great stuff with Peacemaker and Harcourt, and then when Vigilante shows up as well, you've got the great stuff, all that great stuff with John Mern and Leota in the van as well. It's just it's the little things, and you're looking thinking, yeah, that's so, like, it's just great the way, like, you know, the Berenstain bears, which according to my computer, it's Berenstain because it's saying that I've spelt Berenstain wrong. So I'm with her on the Berenstain bears.
Yeah, that's a throwback to, like, that Mandela effect thing. But I definitely felt like we got a lot of payoff to what we've been waiting for, which is seeing the team coalesce together, seeing a full mission kind of go deep, and then you get some really good. One of the things I will say about this show is that it's the chemistry. And yeah. I don't mean like, there's like chemistry between, you know, John Cena and whoever. It's everybody works so well and fits into a groove. Even like Vigilante coming out of nowhere and being part of the team without really being part of the team, just kind of shoehorning himself in. Everybody's just responding to him, riffing with him, you know, making fun of him or like, you know, he's got stuff right back. Everybody's got chemistry with everybody. And I think that that's a really big highlight.
Yeah. Joel, what about you?
I'm kind of with Alex here. I think the whole ensemble cast kind of nature of this episode really highlights everybody really well. The prior episode, I feel like certain characters were a little more out of pocket or inconsequential. Everybody had a role to play here. Everybody did a great job interacting with each other. Peacemaker, I love how he's there to be part of the team, but not really. He's really just there to help Peacemaker. And does not care about the actual mission outside of that. He's strong.
He's not even there to help Peacemaker, really. He's there to make sure that Peacemaker doesn't get another, like, best friend.
Yeah,
really.
Yeah. But I do like how integral Peacemaker was, not Peacemaker, Vigilante was to this episode, too. Like, he is such an important piece for a part of the show where he's only supposed to be kind of this joke at the point.
It's one of those, like, proof of concept. Like, the entire show so far, like, especially last episode, like, oh, he's kind of a joke. And then this episode, oh, he's kind of a joke. And then you get to the end of this episode, it's like, oh, shit, he's the real deal.
Yeah.
Like, he's ready to go. Like, bleh.
There's, like, there's a reason, you know, you think that they're all silly, but they have mentioned that they have gone off, like, after drug traffickers, and they have murdered tons and tons of criminals in the past before. So, you know, you kind of actually see him in action here, and I think that that's a really good quality.
Oh, yeah. But all right, let's start diving through this thing. We'll go back to the beginning. The beginning of this episode is where we finally start figuring out, like, what the plan is, and Peacemaker is told, you're going to go kill an entire family. And you can see from the get-go, he's like, oh, I don't know about this.
Yeah, and immediately Harcourt coming with, I thought you love peace with all your heart, and it doesn't matter how many men, women, and children you have to kill to get it. It's like, and you can see the crack there. It's like, well, yeah, but killing kids? And it's, yeah. And it's like, you know, it, you contrast that to him in the Suicide Squad, and him saying with such conviction, it's like, I love peace with all my heart. It doesn't matter how many men, women, and children have to die to get it. And it's just, it's that flip of like, oh, he is actually questioning what his core values were. Like, you know, he's killing all these people for kids, for peace. But he's actually starting to realize, actually, no, this is wrong. Like, killing innocent people for peace, you know, like, killing kids for peace is wrong. Like, he doesn't have an issue with, like, you know, killing Goff, like the senator, but it's the kids where he's kind of, you know, he's getting stuck on that.
Yep. And rightfully so, we would hope. We might find out later this episode, you might want to shoot those kids.
Yeah.
But before we get there, we have quite a bit of a show to get through. And my God, the scene, like, where Adebayo is trying to explain the mission, and she just has the most unfortunate photo.
Oh, yeah, this is an HBO show.
Oh, yeah.
Let me guess, that was a direct quote from you and Kelly watching that?
Kelly didn't catch it, actually.
I mean, it's real fast.
I paused the show.
I had to rewind it because I was like, is that what I thought it was? Rewind. Oh, yeah. No, okay.
Yep, there it is.
I love the explanations. Like, I didn't know that WhatsApp downloads pictures directly to your phone. And it's like, yeah, we've all been caught up with that.
Yeah, I mean, everyone gets tripped up in that, but not in the presentation to a group of people thing, and then the worst possible person to be in that presentation with Peacemaker.
He was laughing the entire time.
The look on his face immediately, like, ooh. Well, how did you describe it? I didn't know that she was on the lick a lot of puss.
Jesus, like,
these are very, like, you know what, like freshman year of high school, like okay, yeah, okay, you know, yeah, we'll make lesbian jokes at like freshman year of high school. I got it.
Well, they even have a joke later on. It might have been right after where maybe he was talking to her, and they were talking about like equality, and he was like, I've got 300 gigabytes of equality at home.
No. So he's like. He says,
I'm a fucking ally.
Why am I a fucking ally? It's like, right. Having a lesbian haircut doesn't make you an ally. You haven't seen my porn folder, 400 gigs of alliance.
That's right. Yeah.
But that's, it's that such that sort of, you know, that typical alpha male kind of, you know, the way that we view that sort of typical, you know, close-minded alpha male jock kind of attitude towards it. It's like, you know, they are like, these guys are really homophobic, until it's two women, and then it's like, oh yeah, this is awesome, this, yeah. But if it's like, if it's two men, it's completely like, oh, beat the shit out of them for that.
Peacemaker's whole shtick seems like well-intentioned bad execution.
Yeah. I mean, we've got that in the first episode where he calls the waitress sweet cheeks, and he thinks that it's a nice thing, but you know, it's like, what? She has rosy cheeks. Sweet cheeks means her butt, dude.
Yeah, in this case, yeah, he feels like he is supportive and an ally just because he looks at porn.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, that doesn't count. I understand what you're trying to say, but I mean, at least he's like, again, it's all about good-hearted, wants to believe that he's a good person.
Yeah, he's determined to be a good person, even though he misses the mark almost every time.
Yeah.
But right after that scene, we get like what might be my favorite scene in this episode. Might be, I say that, you know, very tentatively because it's like probably the least impressive, but I love the sequence with Mern and Economos where Mern shares a feeling.
Yeah. I love that.
That entire sequence is so good. Just the like, oh, that's cool. It is cool. I just shared a feeling. I've never done that before. You've never said I'm hungry? No. You've never said I'm chilly? No, but as a matter of fact, I am chilly. Really? No, but if you seemed like a good moment for growth.
I love when Mern sort of like explodes and says, like, what do you think, I'm some sort of like girly girl who needs a puffer jacket? He's like, no. That's what I used to think too. But I'm changing.
Like, I watch this scene, I'm like, oh, this is why James Gunn fell in love with you and put you in Guardians 3 immediately. Like, because you're playing this incredibly deadpan, incredibly serious thing, but it's also screamingly funny. That's not an easy thing to pull 3? Off. Yeah, he's in Guardians 3.
Which one? Mern?
Mern, yeah.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. It was because of working with him on Peacemaker, he put him in Guardians 3.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, I get that. He's great in this.
Well, Freddy Stromer only ended up in Peacemaker because he called someone who, he like a friend of his who worked with him, and just basically said, what's he like to work with? Like, because he didn't want like any... like egotistical people or anything like that to work with. He's not interested in working with those kind of people. And the person, I think it was someone who directed him or something. And I remember they'd said to him, "No, he's great. He's a lot of fun. He's really nice guy as well." And so that's, you know, he cast him. I don't think he auditioned him, to be honest. I think he just cast him on that.
I mean, he's so funny. Like, he was the right call for this thing. So
yeah.
But then while all that's going on, we go back to like they're all set up for their murders. Like they're just ready to go. They get their sniper rifle out, they go start stalking the family, and then
they're not fully ready though, cuz you know, he's missing the Dove of Peace.
Oh god, yes. The Dove of Peace.
And he's got to draw it on with a Sharpie, and every time he draws a Dove of Peace, it turns out like a fucking ghost.
I mean, he's not wrong. It did look very ghost-like when you see it. It did.
I love the sound that they use. I mean, it's quite clearly the sound of like them like streaky things when you're cleaning windows.
Oh yeah, like a squeegee.
And it's like a squeegee thing on a window, but like the sound of it just going, and then you just suddenly go, "Fuck!"
He tries so hard.
And he's so upset with himself. Like, it's like the only person who's more disappointed by Peacemaker is Peacemaker.
Yeah,
he's got standards, man. He's got standards.
He does.
There's also, all right,
but now they're getting ready to go murder an entire family, and this is where we get a lot of good stuff with Peacemaker and Harcourt.
We also get
when the family first shows up, they can't get their shot because there's a guy in the way, and Mern, who very proudly declares himself not Amanda Waller, which sucks with Amanda Waller's daughter in the room with you, he says not to kill the innocent guys. So now they have to sit and wait for them to become available to be murdered.
Mm.
And also, but when they're getting ready, there was a bit where Vigilante had been spying on them because he was worried about his best friend, Peacemaker, and there was a good back forth. Like behind the dumpster, with him hiding behind a dumpster and the rest of the team being like, what the fuck?
Get out of here. Well, I was going to leave, but now I can't.
If I acquiesce, I will feel small.
And then just like they're getting ready, waiting around. And of course, best friend Vigilante. I was going to call that's his name to me now is best friend Vigilante, just because I don't want to say that we all need a vigilante, but I will say we all need a friend like Vigilante who just wants to like watch your back and take care of you. Because, you know, there is also a level of, like, you know, masculinity there. But for the most part, he's just someone, you know, I love my best friend, and I just want to make sure he's okay. So
for the Brooklyn Nine-Nine people out there, he's very much a Boyle to Jake's, Peralta.
Yeah. 100%. That is the best comparison.
So, of course, they're doing the stakeout, waiting to get a good shot, and he just kind of, he's like, don't tell him I'm here. And he's like, come on, man. We all know you're here. You're not
like,
quiet.
Dude, they know you're here. No, I'm not. It's like, what is he supposed to be, a talking bush?
When he steps out of the bush, Harcourt has one of the best lines in the entire show. You're a fucking clown. Like I said, like, Harcourt is slowly but surely becoming one of my favorite characters this entire show. Like, on this rewatch, she's just climbing the ranks. She's so good.
And again, just the chemistry between Vigilante and her. They don't have a lot of lines, but when they do, you're just like, ah, man, you guys are just good together. Like,
I love the bit where they're talking about, you know, when they were kids and everything, and Harcourt saying, like, you know, mine got me my first Glock when I was 12. And Peacemaker's like, which one? And she's like, the 20. It's like, that's a lot of gun for a little girl. And it's like, I was a little girl for a gun. And it's like, that says so much about the character. And like, you know, for anyone who doesn't know what a Glock 20 is, it's chambered in 10mm. That thing kicks like a bastard, apparently. The FBI was going to use the 10mm. It was too much for the agents to handle. So it's, I like that it's, you know, they've put in like that sort of detail of it is actually quite a powerful weapon as well, and it says a lot about Harcourt, the character, of like, you know, from the age of 12 she's been kind of a badass in terms of, like, you know, being able to handle this thing that a lot of adults can't handle as well.
Yeah,
it does say a lot about her, and like, it's again that, like, you know about these weapons more than I ever will, so like, I miss out on those details, but I can take them at their word of, if Peacemaker's saying that's a lot of gun, and like, I've seen the weapon he chooses to use,
yep.
I can assume it's a lot of gun.
Yeah, he's got a Desert Eagle with a barrel extension. I mean, you've already got a gun that's about a foot long, and then you've got a barrel extension about the same size of the gun. So you've got, like, you know, your pistol is about 2 foot long.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. But yeah, so if his meter is that's a lot of gun, I'm gonna trust Peacemaker on this one. But this is also where the Berenstain or Berenstain Bears conversation starts, because that's the code name for the family. And I love Adebayo holding her ground against Mern.
Yeah.
Like that. And she's like, tries to like correct her, like, it is Berenstain. I don't mean to correct you, sir, but it's shut up.
I didn't even take it as Mern taking a side. I think he just tried to make a definitive choice so they'd stop talking about it. And then she went.
I thought it was him being serious, and then also on the side being like, also, you're wrong.
That's what I took too.
Yeah, that's what I took as well.
But also, yeah, telling him to shut up is also very funny.
But it also doesn't work, like, because when Harcourt then calls in, she's very clear. The Berenstain family has arrived.
And then later on, when Theo finds the picture online, and she's like, see? And then you've got Economist going, yeah, that's obviously Photoshop.
Oh, God, that's good. But we do start, like, this is when we start finding out, like, oh, wow, the butterflies are everywhere. And it's the entire family.
Yeah.
And as soon as Mern figures that out, like, Mern just goes, you know, code red, kill them all. Mm. Kill them all right now. But he doesn't really explain anything. So, like, I've watched the show. I can see why Merrin is saying kill them all, kill them all. But to people who haven't, it's still a very, like, oh, he's still telling him to kill kids and Peacemaker's having a problem. And Vigilante steps up. And it is one of the best moments in this show. Like, both Peacemaker having a problem with it and Vigilante stepping up to that moment.
The delivery of, like, how Vigilante takes over, I absolutely love. It's like, hey, buddy, you want to just step aside for a minute?
Move over for a sec.
Yeah, that's it. Sorry. You want to just move over for a sec? It's just so caring as well. And it's like, it's not like, oh, like, I got this or anything like that. It's literally that he is caring for, like, he's seeing that his friend is having a problem and he's wanting to just sort of like help him out.
And there isn't even like a level of like showing him up either.
Nope.
He's very efficient, and the amount of word usage he uses is very, like, he very specifically says, like, hey, just, like, you know, just scoot over for a second.
Like, yeah, it's not like, I got this, motherfucker, or anything. You know, it's not like sort of, you know, the kind of, you know, the action quippy thing. It's more of that caring person. It's like, literally, it could be about anything. It could be, like, you know, a surgeon operating on someone who he knows, and then, you know, his best friend who's also a surgeon coming and saying, do you want to just move over a second? And, you know, that sort of thing, you know, that's a terrible...
It's very understanding. Like, it's not a judgment thing at all. It's very like, oh, man, he's having a tough time. It's okay. It's okay.
Yeah.
And then he's still...
He's been in prison for a long time. He hasn't had to murder people in a while. I'll take this one for him.
Yeah.
He still doesn't get the job done.
Nope.
Hey, he does three out of four.
The prime targets the senator. Yeah. And, I mean, maybe he doesn't know that. It changes
to be everybody.
Yeah.
Yeah, it does end up being everybody. But also, I don't think he knows. I think that's what Joel is kind of hinting at. Like, he's just been kind of following Peacemaker, not really following along the mission or anything. And the only reason he jumps in is like, kill these people. And he's like, I'm having trouble. He's like, oh, I have no problem killing people. Who am I killing? People in there? Yeah. You got it.
Okay. Isn't he singing the whole time, too? Or
he's humming, yeah.
Yeah.
He's humming. Yeah. It's so funny. Like, he's like,
yeah.
One, two,
and then like, she's three. As Harcourt's calling them out, like, Baby Bear down, or Billy Bear down, Betty Bear down, Mama Bear down.
Susie Bear down.
Susie Bear, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, and then Papa Bear!
And then Papa
Bear! Ow!
And then Judo Master comes in. I love that bit as well, where it cuts back to the van, and Leo says, what's Ki-I? And then you just have economists go, it's a martial arts term, it means convergence of energy. And then immediately Merrin just like, Judo Master. And it's just the way that, like, economist is just like, you know, gives an actual definition of what Ki-I is, not like, oh shit, Judo Master's there.
Yeah.
Oh, that's funny. Judo Master just outclasses them immediately.
Yeah. Ki-I! And then like Vigilante is like, nope, sorry, dude, I'm out of here. You win.
After he's stabbed by Peacemaker, and like I'd seen that scene in the trailer a few times, but every time it still makes me laugh. Just Peacemaker's trying to fight him, Judo Master ducks, and he gets Vigilante, and just, ah, fuck, dude.
Yeah. You got like Peacemaker, shit, and he's like, ah, fuck, dude.
It's such a good reaction. But I also just love these two murder machines trying to fight Judo Master, and they're just both screwed.
Yeah. I love as well how earlier on they say, oh, he's fucking 2 feet tall. And, like, yeah, you know, like basically saying, like, oh, what the fuck's he going to do? And then he just absolutely wipes the floor with both of them at the same time.
Which kind of, again, shows that, like, anybody can kind of be a supervillain if you could fight. It just, or a villain or hero. It just all comes down to, like, okay, you have a little bit of an ego. You want to dress up. And, like, Judo Master's costume is just a weird, like, green,
like,
jump.
Teenage turtle, like, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles kind of thing. Going on.
But it's a very funny character that just decimates both Peacemaker and Vigilante.
And then he's also super funny. Like when we find him later in like the
Even the first bit before they even started shooting, you've got him outside with the bodyguard and he's eating those Cheetos.
Yeah.
And then the bodyguard's like, oh, can I have one? It's like, no. It's like, oh, well, you know, I don't need the carbs. And it's like, I noticed. It's just like, so good. It's like that really sort of bitchiness, which is what Judo Master is fucking brilliant at. Like, he's got the best comebacks ever.
And this is one of those characters we talked about that, like, last episode, that we have these no-name heroes and villains that, like, no one's, like, ever heard of, may have been in, like, three issues, fought nobody, and we have them here really kind of stealing the show.
Yeah.
He really does, too. Like, he's just such a nothing little character, but at the same time, he beats both Vigilante and Peacemaker really without any difficulty. And then when he's torturing them, he's actually legitimately funny. Like, the whole, like, what are you eating? Flaming Hot Cheetos? Yeah. Can I have one? Bam!
Yeah, and he's, like, throwing it. Dude, what the fuck's in Cheetos?
I was like, I get it. Stop! Oh, man, it's good. And then, as Joel aptly put it in our group chat, now we're watching Saw. Poor Vigilante has a really bad night.
Oh my god, the bit though where he pulls off his mask. Oh my fucking god, that is one of the funniest things.
He says that if he keeps contorting his face.
If I keep changing my face, he won't recognize me in a lineup. And it's just the faces that he's pulling. And then the wide shot. The wide shot. The wide shot when it pulls back and you see Goff speaking to Peacemaker, like in the background, he's still doing it. He's like doing this sort of like weird thing where he's bobbing his head from side to side. It's so funny.
Also, a complete waste of time. But it's just so funny. And then it's that wonderful moment of like Vigilante's here to help Peacemaker, and he just doesn't understand how in it he is until he's getting jumper cables attached to his nuts. And he's like, whoa, what is going on here? And he's getting tortured. Yeah. He's getting electrocuted through his junk. And Peacemaker's like, don't worry, I'm not going to give him anything.
give him a little thing?
And then later on, he's like, just keep going. Give me the full torture. And he just winks.
He's like, give me all you got.
And he winks at Vigilante. Vigilante's like, wait, no. That's not what I wanted.
He's like, I love this. Yeah, I love this.
What do you think of this? I love this. And while this is going on, we have Harcourt and Adebayo having a very bad moment outside. And then we have Murn leaving Economos to catch anyone who's trying to escape. And Economos is like, how? Any way you can. And of course, as this is going on, we start seeing Judo Master leave. And Economos is going to have to stop him. And he's just having a panic attack. He's like,
he's just, fuck!
No!
Fuck!
Don't get in the car! Don't get in the car! Not the car!
It's really like a crisis, like, for him, because he's never had to deal. Like, he's talked about before in a previous episode that Adebayo says, you know, you ever been shot before or been shot at before? And he's like, no.
So yeah, he sounds so disappointed as well.
So he's really like, no. Wants this moment to happen, but at the same time, he can't, like, fight his own, like, his own brain that's just telling him, like, you need to get out of there. This is dangerous. You could die. So it's a little bit of like this, this internal fight that he has where he's like, I don't know what to do.
And also the one guy he's going to be forced to fight is the guy who took out both Peacemaker and Vigilante. Like, he's well aware of who he's up against and he has to be just freaking out.
Yeah.
But I also love the moment where Harcourt is down and out and Adebayo has to come save her from the security guard, and Adebayo just doesn't know how to do this. And just the interchange between her and Harcourt is so good, because Harcourt is like, why are you prolonging this? Like, we have to kill him.
That line, like, when she says that, it's just, it's such a powerful moment. Because when she says that, he then starts going on about how he's got kids and things like that. And it's that sort of thing of like, you know, you can shoot someone in the back of the head quite easily, but if they start talking about their family and you're having to look them in the eye, it gets more difficult. I mean, I'm saying that having never shot anyone in the back of the head or the front of the head before.
I suspect you see the humanity in somebody, and the more that you can relate to them as a person, the harder it is to pull the trigger. Like you said, like, until you know them as a person, they're just a body.
And what I was getting from Harcourt, and especially like seeing how it's reacting on Adebayo, is like, you're doing both of you a favor. Like, the longer you let this guy stew in knowing he's about to die, the worse it is for him. And the longer you know he's a human, the worse it is for you. Get this over with.
Yeah. Is that again that it's that mentor thing of like, you know, why are you prolonging this? Just kill him and then it's done with.
Yeah. And yeah, I like that. I really do enjoy the relationship. They play off each other so well.
Yeah.
But is this about the time when now they're in the house and they're trying to figure out how to get to Peacemaker and they find out, oh, he's below them and they need to find their secret way into it?
Yes.
Yeah. That amazing song. Door. That song is so fucking good. I've listened, like, I found it on YouTube and listened to it like God knows how many times in the last couple of weeks. It's so good.
It's a damn good song. It's a really good sequence.
I'm not going to try to sing it.
Thank you. I really do appreciate that. But while it's going on, we also have them downstairs like, all right, if this isn't working, if Electric Give Me the Nuts, we're going to have to amp it up a bit. I'm going to cut off a toe.
Yeah.
And we get a moment here that I kind of love because it exemplifies, again, that thought process of how little they think ahead or how much information they actually have in the world. Because you get Vigilante saying, like, dude, you can't let him cut off my pinky toe. That means I'll just fall over. I read it on the internet.
It's like, it's the most important toe in the human body. Don't think that's true. Well, it is. I read it on the internet. And then, like, contrast that with Peacemaker, who literally earlier on in the episode was saying about how they're going to kill... they're going to kill Goth. It's like, oh, so we're going to kill him because climate change is a hoax. And it's like, and he's read that on Facebook. And it's like,
why is this? So Facebook's lying to me now? It's like,
yeah, because Facebook's lying to me.
So it just kind of gives them very like, oh yeah, they're high schoolers. They have the high school mentality still.
Yeah. Yeah. And then I also love that the poor Goth, I know that's not really where you go to with the torturer in this thing, he doesn't understand how difficult it is to take off a toe. So he's just
it's like, why is it not coming off? It's like, because your blade's as dull as fuck, man. Why don't you maintain your torture shit?
Which is very funny because Vigilante's saying this as these guys trying to cut his toe.
Yeah, he's getting the guy who's getting his toe cut off is the one saying, why don't you maintain your torture shit? Which, to be fair, to Vigilante, I can imagine like having someone rag around trying to cut your toe off with blunt blades would be a lot more painful than like super sharp ones just going snip.
Oh yeah. Very but I mean so. He does get to keep his toe because of them, so you know, be a little grateful there. Vigilante, what are you talking about? And now back upstairs, they're trying to break into the downstairs vault, and it's one of my favorite moments with Adebayo of the entire thing of Myrn. Is it Myrn or Hardcore? It hands in the bomb and she licks the back of it. Just Hardcore, why are you licking it?
It's like, I thought it was like an envelope. It's the like the physical comedy that the actress does in that as well. It's like the immediate lick and the sort of oh god, I love that. And it's like, it makes me think as well, like, would that was that explosive perfectly fine until she actually licked it? And
that's a good question. I had that same question. I was like, was her licking it what caused the problems?
Yeah, and like, was it the saliva drying why it took so long?
I kind of like the ambiguity of was it her fault or not. Like, I like that this show is fine having these guys make mistakes.
Because you've got Myrn saying, like, he worked in the lab. And it's that idea of, like, it worked in a very sort of like sterile environment, like a laboratory.
And that's like, what I like about it is that Myrn, like, again, the guy who's, like, been so emotionless and unfazed throughout this entire thing is generally perplexed. He's not like, huh. He's seriously like, weird. This is just strange. Why is it not working? Like,
boom!
Yeah, just like really contemplating the issue, and it felt good, the fact that like, oh, okay, he's got a little bit of, he's thrown off of his game on this part.
And then across the room.
Yeah. And clearly he feels anger. I mean.
Yeah. But I also love when is it Hardcore asks if he's good and just the very slow thumbs up.
Like, yeah. It's like literally blew the wind, like knocked him so I couldn't even speak.
But then the explosion's so big that Peacemaker gets free and is able to grab the shotgun and then gives us like, Peacemaker gets a catchphrase with the peace out, motherfucker.
Yeah.
Boom.
And then I'm sure Joel had this is an HBO show there.
Yeah.
Yep.
Now, was it the motherfucker or the face exploding?
Yes.
Or was it the bug crawling out of the stump of a head.
See, that I wasn't so bothered by. I was just curious.
So you were in the same boat as Peacemaker and Vigilante?
More or less, yeah.
It's like, huh, Project Butterfly.
And they do such a great job of that as a recurring joke of Peacemaker asking, like, what the hell is Project Butterfly? Nobody's telling me what this is.
And now we know. And then it cuts to the van, and there's more than a few.
But is that a population spurt all of a sudden, or is that that's the question I have? Is that I want to know more. It dragged me into the next wanting to go into the next episode, because I'm like, is this a population spurt or just the real numbers that were hidden before?
I could answer your question, but I'd rather not. I'll let you find it on your own, because it is it's interesting where this goes from here. Like that to me, having watched all three of these as fast as I possibly could, was like the best. Oh, I'm excited for where this show's going, because I legitimately do not understand how this ragtag group of idiots is going to handle a global supervillain problem.
Yeah, exactly, and that's where I was with it. I was just like, oh man, I'm in now. You know what I mean? I'm fully on board. If I wasn't before, I am now.
I think that it sort of that speaks to like Brian's point of when they originally released the series, they dropped the first three episodes as kind of like the extended pilot, and essentially, so like, you know, you're saying you're in now at this point. It's like, you know, if you were watching this as it was live, you'd have probably watched the first three episodes when they came out, and then at the very end of that, it's like, oh, it's got me, because it's like the first episode, it kind of ends on that sort of, oh, I've got to come back and watch the next one. But this one, it leaves you with this sense of, oh, I want to watch the next one because I want to see where this is going. Whereas the first one was kind of like, oh, I want to see the next one because I want to see how, you know, what happens next. But it's the third one's setting up what's the whole season to come. Whereas the first one was kind of just like a little bit of a cliffhanger. But the other one's like intrigues you. Like the third episode is the one that leaves you intrigued as to where it goes.
Yeah, and I could speak to that. I definitely was intrigued.
Yeah. But I mean, like, and I've watched this show now. This is my third time going through it. And I'm like, it still gets me. Like, I still see that last thing on the monitor where it just starts like pulling out. And you're like, oh, wow. Like, this is a huge problem. And I like the way the way this has been kind of handled over the first three episodes is like, yeah, that's a huge problem. But we also have the problem of you have cops like hot on your tail, and you also have your dad in jail because of you. Like, and your dad's not a good guy. Like, so that's probably a bit problematic there too. So like, it's done this really good job of like, here's your overarching plot, here are your B plots, let's go. And I think it's very cool, and it doesn't really click until the very end of this episode of like, oh, that's what these three episodes were. And then when you watch episode four, not to get too spoiler for next week, things kind of slow down a little bit, but not in a way that I think is a problem, but it's like, okay, now we're on track. So this whole like craziness, like it's still a crazy show, don't get me wrong, but the insanity of like trying to hook in viewers is done, and now we're just kind of in the craziness of Peacemaker. And I think the transition out of it is so good, and largely because they stick the landing of this third episode so well.
Mm. I think like the third episode is one of the best ones, because like I always think that like with these episodes, it's really strange because I usually watch them like back to back to back to back. You know, like, you know, until now, you know, I'm still watching them kind of back to back in terms of I'm watching them like two episodes at a time back to back. But before I came to this kind of late on, I think like there was two episodes left to be released when I started watching it. So I'd watch them all kind of like back to back to back to back to back over like the course of like two nights or something. So it's kind of, you know, the episodes sometimes mold together, and then I start thinking, oh, this is two separate episodes, when actually, you know, the third episode I always thought was two episodes, and then when like going into it like this, it's like, oh no, wait a minute, this is just one episode where all this shit happens, and there's a lot that happens, but it's all very kind of focused, and yeah, it doesn't feel bloated or anything like that. And I think that's what's really great about the series in terms of like the writing as well.
Yeah. Is there anything else in this episode that we missed you guys want to talk about? Should we move into favorite moments?
I mean, Economos, how he takes down
Judo, we did Master. Skip over it. Yeah. It's like, the car, and then
hit him with the car. and then repeatedly hitting him with a tire iron.
Oh yeah, as he's trying to crawl away, which also shows that like Judo Master is tough.
Oh yeah,
or his costume's tough.
Oh yeah,
could be helmet. Because he keeps hitting him in the back of the head.
He does take out Peacemaker and Vigilante.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm not saying he's not tough, but I'm sort of thinking like, you know, the tire iron thing. He is hitting him in the costume though. So it's like, you know,
that's true.
It's kind of like hitting Batman's cowl.
Yeah,
sure.
That's true.
But the best thing with the Economos taking out Judo Master is Economos' celebration dance at the end.
Oh my god.
Economos, motherfucker!
And even does the kung fu yell.
Yeah.
And you know, he's so proud of himself.
You hit a dude with a car.
It's a good win for him though. Again, he had been wanting that moment, you know.
Yeah, he needed that, and it worked out really well. All right, favorite moments. You guys ready?
Yep.
Oh yes.
Matt, why don't you go first? I don't think I ever let you go first for favorite moments.
Yeah, I kind of like I touched on mine earlier on. It is the bit where Vigilante's mask comes off, and he's the facial expressions, and it's like even his voice changes slightly as well. It's like if I keep changing my facial expression, you won't be able to recognize me in a lineup. And it's just like the way that he actually says the lines as he's doing these crazy fucking faces as well. And just every time I watch it, every single time, I'm in hysterics. Just because of how funny the physical comedy that Freddie Stromer does, with that alone, is just brilliant. Like the faces that he comes out with, like, you know, you look at that and you think, that can't have been directed. That was like the direction was just from James Gunn. Make some crazy faces, and it's just kind of like that is just hilarious.
Like, yeah, I feel like it was almost improv. I could feel that.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, it's just like the idea is like you know, you're gonna make some crazy faces because you don't want them to recognize your face. So just, you know, go, and it's that just like the. Every time, I wish there was like a video medium because I could like, you know, I could do them. not do them, but I could make it like have a go at like, you know, doing some of them, because the one that gets me is it's the one where it's in the background and he's basically got like he's pushing his teeth out a bit like he's got like buck teeth or something, and then just sort of like, you know, wobbling his head from side to side.
It's so funny. His physical comedy throughout this is just so funny.
Yeah.
Alex, what about you? What was your favorite moment?
I think it was the. I think it was the Vigilante taking over for sniping the family for Peacemaker. Again, I'm really big on the best friend Vigilante. That's who he is to me now, because in that moment it's so easy to demasculize or emasculate your friend. And in that case, he was very caring and very soft and made sure that he didn't feel that way while also still getting the job done.
Yeah. I'll go next. We'll let Joel go last. Mine is, guess what? Another Vigilante moment. And mine's it's the end of the Judo Master fight when he's like, all right, I've lost. And he tries to just run away from the fight.
So, but you win.
Yeah, fuck this. It's over. You win. Fair fight.
That's it. Fair fight. And then he does start running away, but it's that really sort of goofy run as well. Like,
he's so injured. He's just been had the crap kicked out of him. He's like, fuck this, I'm done. He just tries to run away. Oh, I loved it. Joel, go ahead. What's yours?
I think the sniper scene with Peacemaker and Vigilante is the favorite for me. I will special shout out again, Diebeard's victory at the end. With Dense a karate kid. Like that's just
Economos, motherfucker.
It's in the sequence of him hitting him with the tie rod over and over. It is painful. Oh,
come on, dude.
It is painful to watch.
He's like begging him to stop. Yeah. Like, please stop. Please but stop also, being alive.
He's so afraid to hit him. Like he hits him and runs away. And then hits him and runs away.
I love just before his celebration where he prods him with it. And then sort of like recoils back and is like, woo! Economos, motherfucker! Yeah!
That's what Vigilante and Peacemaker needed, was to hit him with a car. That would have done it.
And a tire
iron. Not just a car, a van.
Well, yeah, hit him with a van and then hit him over the head with a tire iron about 5 or 6 times.
Yeah, that's the ticket.
Yeah.
All right, so that is three episodes down. What's the episode next week? Where are we jumping into? What's it called?
Oh, I wish I had the help.
The Chode Less Traveled.
That's
oh,
it.
Oh, God.
I love these episode titles.
Oh, they're so good. And I love the photo for it, which is just a photo of Judo Master smashing Peacemaker's head into a car. Like, it's going to be a good episode, guys. It's something to look forward to. It's also, just throwing it out there, directed by the writer of Observe and Report, producer of Vice Principals, directed a whole bunch of Eastbound and Down, Jody Hill. The Yay. Name ring a bell for anyone?
No.
No idea.
I think you
don't
know
if it's a man or woman.
He directed The Fist Foot Way, directed Observe and Report, Eastbound and Down, ton of episodes, Vice Principals, tons of episodes, Righteous Gemstones, tons of episodes, works with, what's his name, a whole bunch?
Danny Kenny McBride? Powers.
Yeah, Danny McBride. Like, he is huge with that crowd and Will Ferrell and them. So very, very, very funny guy directs the next episode. He's worked on the show. I think it's pretty cool.
Cool.
Yeah, let's move into plugs, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, let's do it. This show, every other show on the ATH Network, be sure to check out athpod.com. Damage Boost, Demon Days, and yeah, the one you're currently listening to. And that's all I'm going to say, because last week I fucked him up so bad, I don't want to do it again. Joel, what about you? What's your plug?
I'd like to plug my dog. He is big, loud.
Phrasing.
Bad listener.
Yeah, I was just thinking that's a really bad way of phrasing that, Joel.
You know,
really consider that.
It would have been fine before you mentioned it. And now you've made it dirty, and I feel uncomfortable.
You feel uncomfortable. Imagine how the dog would feel.
Yeah, I'm done.
Headphones are off. Joel's just walking away.
Fuck this. I'm done. You win. Fair fight. All right, Alex, what about you? What you plugging?
Our podcast, Super GG Radio, where we will find you your new favorite game. We beta test games. Also, you can follow me on Twitter, ZeroRONALEX, Ron Alex.
Joel, do you want to take another swing at plugs, or do you or you just want to bow out because of the whole dog thing?
No, I'm done with you.
He didn't say done with plugs. He said I'm done with you.
Yep.
That's fair. Anyhow,
He's not. He'll be back.
He'll be back.
He right? misses too much.
You find right, out right, next Joel? Time, oh, I guess.
All right. Thank you, everyone, so much for listening. We'll see you next week. Bye.
Bye.
GG. So long.
Oh, Joel said bye this week.